Welcome back to My Secrets to Stamina. I'm Cindy Novotny, and I'm thrilled that you're here to join me today. And to all my loyal followers, welcome back. You know, this podcast platform has been so successful in allowing me to connect with all of you. I allow guests to share their incredible stories and advice. I bring the fire and the best of the best. And I love the fact that everyone who is listening to this podcast, no matter what role you have in life, wants to be better and wants to have a better life. Everybody's got a dream, a journey, and my goal is to help you successfully live that life. The life you want, not the life everybody else thinks. They deem me the radical mentor, and I'm going to help you look at living your life without the standard definition of balance and have the stamina to do it all. I am so excited for my guest today, a client, a friend, a New England boss babe, Nicole Wardle. Nicole and I have become friends as well as work buddies, and I've gotten to work with her, which is so exciting. She is the Vice President of Sales for Peak Event Services and Reverie, which Reverie Social is new. She's going to tell you all about that. Peak produces 30,000 plus events, and Nicole manages 7 offices, over 40 salespeople. I mean, talk about stamina. She gets it. She has built a strong, proactive sales culture and is a leader who actually, when I say gets it, really gets it. She's my kind of boss babe. She's a forward thinker, results driven, and is always looking for ways to elevate her team. We're going to talk all things leadership, events, generations, and of course, her secrets to stamina. Being a working mom of 3, she needs that stamina. I'm thrilled to have her share her story with us today. So welcome, Nicole.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the compliments. I'm just excited to get to chat with you and connect today.
I am thrilled to have you with us. And it's exciting because, number one, you do have so much stamina, but you also are so much fun. I think that, you know, you're one of these people, just like you posted today, you know, on your Insta story, how you were with the eye, you know, little eye gels under. I mean, you're just hilarious, and you always have had sense of humor. So I so appreciate it.
Thank you. We got to laugh in this industry.
We do have to laugh. So I want to begin by having you share your background and your story with our listeners, because not everybody listening is from our industry. I have a lot of new followers and new people that like love to hear all these different stories. So talk a little bit about how you got to your role at Peak.
Yeah, that sounds good. My team over here jokes that I need the Taylor Swift t-shirt. I have a lot going on at the moment, and it's so true.
I love it.
So I guess I started my career as a tax accountant, if you can believe it. I realized I was a people person, moved into media. And then from media, I moved into the luxury venue and private event world. And, you know, most recently before Peak, I helped grow the Longwood Venues and Destinations brand over the course of 14 years. And we went from a standalone luxury event location to having 5 or 6 during my time doing consulting. But we basically built a brand. You know, and with that comes with creating structure, developing a team, understanding what customers are looking for. And it really helped me grow and flourish in my career. Funny enough, one of the venues that we opened in Newport, Rhode Island, Bellemare, my current boss, our CEO, Jennifer Gullins, and I opened that venue together about 14 years ago now. So anyhow, after being with Longwood for quite some time, pandemic hit, I had a midlife crisis, sold everything I owned and moved my family to Chicago to work for another venue group. We were opening concert venues and restaurants and some really cool spaces. And about 7 months into the journey, after I bought a house and had the kids go to school, Jennifer Gullins called me and told me about all the exciting things happening at Peak and, you know, asked what I thought. And my family and I literally packed a backpack and drove the car home.
I love it.
So Probably the craziest thing I've done in my life, but I'm so happy where I'm heading into my third season with Peak, and it has been incredible. I was a customer for 14 years, and now I'm kind of seeing under the hood on this side, and we're working on a lot, and it's so exciting. Like you said, last year my division alone hit we touched over 30,000 events. Coming from Longwood, we had about 1,000 events a year. So my head's spinning, to say the least, but we're doing a great job over here.
And you're doing it with a smile on your face and a sense of humor. And I love the fact that you went with your gut and you said, oh, well, okay, COVID hit, pack it up, let's move to Chicago. Then, of course, you get a call from, obviously someone who you admire and work for, and let's pack it up and move back. And I think that is something, aspiring leaders need to know. You never know. You never burn bridges. You always stay connected. You always do a good job. You leave each job better than you could imagine. So when people come in, you're always that kind of, wow, I would like to do it like Nicole did it, that sort of thing. But they say that people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Isn't that right?
100%. And I try to teach my team that too. I'm a the perfect example of, not only is our industry small, but it's a small world. I still connect with people, back when I left college and I started as a tax accountant. I've run into these people still. So it's a small world, and you gotta keep your professional brand going, for each and every role. It follows you.
Absolutely. And I think that's something everyone should take into consideration, whether you're young and aspiring or you've been in this industry or any industry, you really have to remember to always be doing the right thing and give more than you'll ever get back. So let's talk a little bit about that when it comes to leadership. You're leading a team to scale both these organizations to the best of the best. And when you look at, what you have to do and the additional products and services you've added on, I think it's important to see about how you adjust your team. So let's talk a little bit about how you're scaling both of your companies, really.
Yeah, definitely. I'm heading into my third event season with Peak right now. So I feel like, the first 2 years here was just kind of understanding what was going on. The demand we were seeing was absolutely insane, and just understanding the booking windows for customers and things of that nature kind of helped me understand where I needed to focus the customer service. And part of that is building a team that is super client driven. And so what I've been really doing right now is kind of understanding, from my team, what makes their job hard, what makes their job fun, and creating pathways for them. I'm a proponent of grooming from within, and but they have to work for it, right? So we're setting expectations that are probably harder than the team has seen before, but I think it's motivating them. We're creating pathways for growth, and for me, I mean, I know we're going to talk about the generations, but I definitely am seeing differences in the workforce right now, and I'm trying to really understand what it is that each one of them wants and needs. And for someone that's coming right out of college, when I came out of college and entered this industry, I mean, we were all thrown into it. We were thrown to the wolves, and you learned a lot. But I'm really trying to create an environment where my team is learning before they're thrown to the wolves, and they can be confident once they're on the phone or in front of customers. And that is so important to me. I've had bosses in my career that protected their knowledge because they were afraid, or somebody was going to come take their job. For me, I'm like, come take my job. I want you to take my job. And how are we all going to keep growing? I'm thinking about succession planning all the time, and I feel that if I'm a leader in the hospitality industry, it is I need to do my part to think about the future of this industry and how I'm grooming people to step up.
And I think that, and when you look at the addition to adding on Reverie and, talk a little bit about that, because I think that's kind of a cool new thing you're working on.
Oh yeah, besides the 30,000 events we're working on, I forgot to mention we launched a brand new company in April, which you were a part of, Cindy.
I was, and it was so exciting. It was mum's the word, mum's the word.
Exactly. So, thank you, because you came in and got our team excited the night we launched, and your excitement helped, starting day one. But yeah, I mean, we were noticing on the event rental and logistics side, we deal with a lot of product. My division, I say we deal with the pretty stuff, the design, the tabletop design, the furniture, things of that nature. And some of our customers asked for a lot of specialty items, and we were noticing just, a small hole in the market with luxury linens. And we decided, let's see if we can launch a national linen shipping company that focuses on specialty and, high-end products. So I hired someone out of the retail and fashion industry who has experience in merchandising, and we brought some retirees out of UPS to, really help us make a go at this. And here we are. We're just about to hit a year, and we're doing awesome. I'm so excited. We're, I think, as of today, in 39 states. So that's pretty impressive in less than a year.
That's really cool. And
Yeah.
reverie means, what does reverie mean again?
Reverie means to be lost in a pleasant daydream. So, we're really trying to be playful with the brand, and the clients are loving it.
I love it. I like to be in a daydream a lot,
Me
especially if
too.
it's playful.
Me
So
too.
I love it. So scaling these businesses, there's also customer satisfaction that I want to talk about because going throughout the US and building these relationships, I mean, what are you seeing? Are you seeing that, customers like to, you get a, there's a cust, I always say there's a customer behind every customer. Are you seeing that, you can provide better satisfaction, exceed their expectations because you now have so many more logistical areas you can work in?
Yeah, this is something we are obsessing about for Peak and Reverie. Our primary focus is customer satisfaction. We go to extreme lengths to make sure customers are satisfied. I am constantly talking to customers or potential customers across the country to learn what it is they like, what it is they don't like. I mostly want to know what they don't like so I can fix things. That's something I'm committed to. That's something our vice president of operations is very committed to. This is one of the first VP of ops that I've worked with that's extremely sales minded, and you met Zach, and you can attest to that. He's at every customer meeting, and it's just been amazing. I think getting feedback, asking for feedback, is really helping our success.
And, speaking of that, I think, I work with a lot of organizations, but I've been bragging all over the world about how you trained every person that drove every truck and loaded everything and put as much emphasis on their delivery and what they do as much as you do with the sales and operations and service and creatives. I think that's highly impressive.
Thanks. Yeah, I think, we're definitely really excited about that. I mean, besides the customer, we are truly committed to our employees, and we want them to know that everyone from sales to operations, this is a career. We're developing amazing opportunities, and right now we are doing Employee Appreciation Week, and focusing on our people. And you can tell that they bring a pride to their role every day because we are putting that emphasis on them.
Which is remarkable. I love it. And when you say you brought some of the guys out of retirement from UPS, I met them and they don't really look that old, by the way. I think they had a good retirement package there at UPS.
That's what I'm thinking too.
I love it. So, we are all working with a lot of multi-generational people, but it's a workforce that these days is no different to me. I mean, this is my own personal opinion right now. No different than it was when I was fresh out of school and joining this industry. I had people that were older than me, younger than me, been in the business, went to university, didn't go to university, bosses that were older, bosses that were younger. And yet everyone makes such a big deal about it. But how are you cracking the code with millennials and Gen Zs?
Oh my gosh, it is, I am not an expert, but for anyone who knows me and interacts with me on a weekly basis, they know this is my favorite subject. I'm really trying to study it and, become a sociology professor or something. But in my day-to-day, just like you mentioned, I mean, I'm working with baby boomers, Gen X, millennials, Gen Z. I have three children from the age of 9 to 14. So, I'm even picking their brains. But, when we're as we're scaling a business, this definitely is, it becomes a challenge for me, but a challenge I love because I love growing and grooming and, changing and evolving. And for me, I want to understand how they like to communicate. I think they like pathways. They like someone to invest in them. They do love our industry, but I do feel like many of them are struggling to find their way. So I'm really trying to, make it a very nurturing environment at Peak, so we can give them strong footing as they, grow in the industry.
And what, when you say pathways, what do you put together for them? So like they can career path, or what are you doing to make it easier for them?
Yeah, I'm such a data nerd, and what I kind of did coming in here is just looking back at the data and understanding, we're trying to scale, and I want to understand of someone right out of college, or someone with 1 to 3 years experience, 5 to 8, 10 plus, what can they handle a customer wise, volume wise on a day-to-day basis? And that's kind of how I've broken out my team. Is we had a strategy meeting yesterday for 6 hours on what I called building the foundation. And I'm trying to give them the building blocks to success. And they'll have different steps of, things that they should master before they kind of graduate to that next step of learning something else. Because we deal with so many customers in this industry that there is a lot of strategy. There are a lot of deep relationships. There's politics involved. And I don't want to throw them into something that, they're not ready for. So we really are very strategically working on our mentoring program with them, and it's going really well.
That's great. And I think anybody listening needs to keep in mind that career path isn't just like do this for 2 years, then you get promoted. You really do have to put together, do these things, be really good, move on to the second thing, move on to the third thing. There's too many people that just want to go 100 miles an hour. Okay, what's my next job? When am I going to get promoted? And I do think if you're young and you've just come out of school, you're used to, you got to pass this to get to this. You got to pass that to get to that. So I think it's a great idea what you're doing. Phenomenal.
Yeah, it always bothered me, coming up in the industry when I was looking at resumes and, hiring people, that I would feel like some businesses would set employees up for failure by their job title. So, for instance, if I'm, hiring a director of sales, right away I'll ask, tell me about your PACE report. Tell me about your mix of business. How much volume did you handle? If they can't answer those basic questions and they had a director title, to me, that sets them up for failure because that's what we need of directors in certain businesses in this industry. So, I obsess about that.
Yeah, and that's good. And you should, and everybody else should. So let's take it down to being this working mom of three and how you continue to push yourself to the highest potential, make your goals. I mean, let's talk a little bit about how you make all this work with your work-life balance and your family. I mean, I think it's something everybody wants to hear from.
Oh my gosh. People ask me this often. I definitely don't have it all figured out perfectly, but we do our best as a family unit. I mean, honestly, like this is probably a conversation for my therapist. But I can't. I came from, I think my work ethic came at a young age from my parents. Not to get into my whole background, but my parents had me in high school. I came from nothing, and then I saw how hard they had to work to create a family and sustain a great career. And, that always kind of stayed with me. So I want to show my children the same. They hear me work all the time. They know I'm passionate. My daughter knew that, I was excited talking about work at, 4:45 this morning. She's like, "Mom, what the heck are you doing? You're crazy." But She knows I love it. She knows it fills my cup, and and I want my kids to go on and find something they're passionate about. So it's something we're talking about as a family all the time. And I definitely know my middle child is a hospitality girl, and I'm already ready to train her on BEOs, get her started at 11.
I love it. It's good internship.
It sure is.
I now, are you traveling or are you mostly home? Like I travel so much, it was a whole different, dynamic for me.
I am traveling a lot now, but for me, my husband's been an amazing support. He's a nurse practitioner, so he can kind of work anywhere. He can be flexible. So right now he's taking a really active role with making sure three kids are going to activities all the time, and he's doing it all. And he sees that this is my time to really grind it out and build something great. And he thrives off of me being happy, so it's working really well as a family. But yeah, I am traveling. I'm traveling throughout the Northeast for a peak, and then I am traveling nationally right now for Reverie Social. So this year's a bit of a whirlwind, but it works for us. We've just kind of figured out how to communicate. And when I grew up, we didn't have FaceTime and things like this, so I don't feel like I'm missing everything, and I'm there for the things that I need to be there for and want to be there for. We're figuring it out.
Yeah, and I think that's the most important thing is that no one, and this is my whole definition of why I say living with no balance and loving it, no one can tell anybody what to do. It's got to be we're working it out. That I agree totally. I can be away from, my husband and I work together, but I'm not with him all the time. My daughter's obviously grown, but works in our company, but doesn't live by me. But even when she was little, I took her out of school. I took her on the road. I would be FaceTiming with her. I think people get so spun up in what other people do that as long as the all of you are communicating and you're always on the same page, that's what matters. That's all that matters, really.
Yeah, it's working. We'll see, but so far so good. And I admire you and watching your travel, and I definitely have to pick your brain as my travel is picking up on all the airport things and
I know.
what
All my good tips and tricks.
Yes, exactly.
So let's, as we wrap it up, let's have you share what your secrets to stamina are. We've talked about your passion for work and your passion for the company and how you're managing with your family and how you love it. But let's talk about what does keep you going. What, in addition to all of those things, what are your secrets?
I don't know. I think I'm so lucky to be in a position right now where everything's exciting. I try to have a positive mindset. I mean, not every day's sunshine and rainbows, but for me, like, I love what I'm doing. It flies by. Every day flies by because there's so much great happening. But I think recently I've had to kind of think about, okay, I'm so busy. We're always so busy in this industry. Like, I almost honestly get a little freaked out when I'm quiet and by myself. And I've had to try to figure out, okay, like, what makes me happy outside of work. And I'm really trying to focus on those things. I love taking walks with my dog, and I love spending time with the family, obviously, and watching the kids do their thing. And that's what gives me my rest on my days off. But my mind's just constantly going about work. It doesn't feel like work. It's like I'm passionate about it, and I'm lucky to love what I do every day. So I don't know. I feel like the stamina comes, but I am, and I have very much learned, especially during the pandemic, that you really do gotta take the time and make time for yourself. And I've practiced meditation and yoga and trying to do some self-care, but you just gotta find those pockets of time that work for you. I mean, everything probably looks good on paper for what I do, but I do have I do have days that I spiral and I need to, you know, focus and calm my anxieties down. And, you know, I think it's nice that we're paying attention to that in our industry now, the mental health. Mental health is a real conversation that, you know, was always taboo before. And I love that we're talking about it every day, because we do need to take time for ourselves if we want to continue to have the energy to operate in a fast-paced environment like this.
Yes. And I love that your stamina comes because you love what you do. I think, you know, I have always said work should not feel bad. Work should not be like something you have to go to. Work shouldn't be something you come home and complain and bitch about it with your family. This is why people don't like what their partner or spouses do, because they come home and it's like, oh, I hate this. When you love what you do and you're happy at work, you're happy at home. And I've always said that. And it's not like you find, you know, people, I said, oh, find a hobby you love and then get a job doing it. Well, I love sailing. And how was I going to really make any money sailing? And I didn't really want to sell sailboats. And you know what I mean? It's not about that. It's about that you love what you do. So therefore, you go home and you're fine and happy at home.
Yeah, 100%. And I don't know, I feel so blessed with just, you know, how far my career has come and my happiness. And you know, I'm an open book, and not to get too personal, but the day that I was born, I was pronounced dead, and the doctor who revived me, my middle name is after him. And I don't take that for granted. Sometimes
oh,
I'm like,
wow.
I wasn't meant to be here. So like, I'm really trying to make the most of, you know, life, YOLO. And
no, Nicole, you were meant to be here. That's the whole point. Oh my God. I never knew that. After all the time I've spent with you, what is your middle name?
Julia. And his name was Dr. Julius. He's since passed, but you know, I visited him until he retired, and it was just a cool story. And, you know, I can go on and on, but my first son, you know, we had a traumatic birth with him. He's had 3 brain surgeries, and, you know, he's thriving and hitting milestones that we never thought he would hit before. So I'm like, oh my God, like some miracles are happening in this family. And I just got to keep, you know, doing what I'm supposed to do here.
Yeah, I love it. Well, good for you. Well, thank you so much for spending this time with me. I mean, your energy, your enthusiasm comes right through in your voice, and everything you've shared has been great. So thanks so much, Nicole.
Thank you so much for having me. It's just great catching up with you. I know we're both all over the place, and I always love when I get to spend some time with you. So thanks, Cindy.
Absolutely. So everyone, stay tuned for my next episode, where I'll bring you another amazing guest who will share their story and their secrets to stamina.